Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And I do remember the first year I served as Executive Director of Christian Home Educators of Colorado. That would have been back in the early 2000s. And you know what happened around that period of time? It was the Columbine School Massacre, in which so many, some 16 or 17 students and teachers were cut down by Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, the two young men that were involved in the massacre. And the phones were ringing off the hook at the Christian Home Educators of Colorado office for at least the next 4 to 6 months. Our intro seminars increased 3-4-fold in terms of those interested in considering homeschooling during those months.
And because they were concerned about the safety of their children, physical safety, but not necessarily the spiritual.
You're right, and that was has always been a concern that parents become slightly concerned about their children's physical well-being, but they don't consider that ideas ultimately have the consequences, and they forget that Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold referred to natural selection, Darwinian evolution through their various blog posts, and also they had natural selection blazoned on T-shirts as they did their dirty deed. So that's something that I think a lot of parents forget. It's not just the consequences that we're concerned with. It's also the ideas that bring about the consequences. And oftentimes parents are less concerned about the ideas than they are the consequences. I think they should be equally concerned.
Yeah, I do too. But it was an opening and an opportunity for those who are promoting home education to proclaim the benefits,
mm-hmm.
not just physically, but spiritually, educationally, morally, for people to take responsibility, to take back the jurisdiction of their children's education.
And homeschooling continues to grow across this country. Now, about 3 million students being homeschooled, and that would be up from about 1.5 million around the time of the Columbine High School massacre. Yet another public school massacre has occurred just a week ago, this time in Texas, and that makes 22 so far this year. I don't know if you realize that, at least on the count that I am monitoring online. The 22 so far this year, 40 lives lost so far this year, and last year, 9 shootings on public school campuses last year, up to 22 so far this year. And if this rate continues, we may see something like 45 to 50 school massacres this year, up from 9 massacres last year. That's an increase of some 500% in just a single year. This may be the largest year of school massacres in the history of this country.
Yep. And in 2014, 2013, I think there were 98,000 plus public schools.
All right. So that's at least one every 1,000 schools. Mm-hmm. It may be. We may be upwards of one every 1,000 schools seeing something of a shooting. And that's quite a heavy incidence. And I think as parents, they should be concerned about sending their kids to a school in which their children are not being properly nurtured and cared for and protected. Jesus did say in Matthew chapter 18 that if any stumble one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for him that a millstone be hanged around his neck and be drowned at the bottom of the sea. So the idea of stumbling children, whether it be physically, whether it be emotionally, whether it be subjecting them to a situation in which they are bullied and they are brought into a bad social environment in which perhaps weird sexual situations are presented to children. And this is not unusual in public schools.
No.
We receive so many phone calls. At least when I was executive director, we would receive phone calls from parents who are concerned about their children witnessing sexual activities. And I don't want to describe them. They're just indescribable sexual activities in the school, in the bathrooms, or in the hallways.
Well, I just talked to a guy who said that he pulled his son out of public school years ago, sent him to a local private school, Christian school, because he said these students were having sex on the bus.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this kind of thing, not unusual nowadays. And, of course, the other problem is that students have access to all of their iPhones and all of their iPads, and they have access to every single red light district, every single radical form of violence and sexuality that you could ever, ever imagine. And hopefully you're not even imagining these things. But we're talking about 6 and 7, 8 and 10 year olds having access to iPhones and iPads, and they have free access to some of the absolute worst possible media you could ever, ever imagine. And Bill, in the 1980s, let's say in 1988, kids had access to television sets, but they watched the television set in the living room with at least some direction from their parents. But you fast forward, some 30 years later, and they can take their television sets, they can take their iPhones that have access to every single horrible, horrible triple X rated produced product, and they can walk into the bathroom with them. They can walk into any store. They can walk in out into the streets, and they can sit there and they can view the absolute worst forms of media you could ever imagine. And they could not do that 30 years ago.
No.
30 years ago, to try to take the television set with you into the bathroom would have been impossible. Those things weighed, 200-300 pounds. Nowadays, they just take these little electronic devices, and the peers of your children have access to these horrible, horrible forms of media, and they can share these things with your children at any point. So, friends, the supervision of the peer group, the supervision of your children's teenage peer group or preteen peer groups just does not exist as it once did. And so the problem, of course, in terms of the peer group is at least 1,000 times worse than it was in the early 1990s. So just keep that in mind if you are caring parents, or if you're a loving parent, and if you don't want the millstone treatment, if you don't want Jesus to put a millstone around your neck and you'd be drowned at the bottom of the sea because you offended one of the least of the little ones that believes in Jesus. So just keep that in mind. There is so much media out there that could be extremely dangerous to your children. It's not just the physical dangers, the emotional and the spiritual dangers that surround your children in these public schools and with their peer groups, even in the neighborhood. So be aware of what is going on in your children's lives today. Things are far, far worse than they were in 1990. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about 1/3 of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at 1/3 the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we're back on the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. As we consider what's going on in the public schools today, yes, we're dealing with idea, information, access that is far, far more secular, far more dangerous, far more perverse than anything we experienced in the 1970s, 1980s, and early 1990s, thanks to the advent of the iPhone, the iPad, and the everything else. But let's take a look at this particular case of this public school massacre in Texas, and our hearts go out to the victims' families who have suffered so much, and I'm sure their friends, their family members, their church members are all suffering from the violence that was brought to bear upon that school in Santa Fe, Texas, just a week or so ago. But I want to take a look at Dimitrios Pagortsis, who is the suspect in this particular case in Santa Fe, Texas. Evidently, there were 10 victims, 10 lives lost in this particular public school massacre. Once again, the media is desperately grasping for the cause of such evil. one of the victim's family is suing the attacker's parents for not locking up the guns used in the shooting. Did you know that, Bill? So they're blaming it on the guns.
Right.
You know, it's the guns. It's access to guns that brings this about. But if it wasn't guns, it'd probably be knives.
Or cars.
Or cars, yeah. They can ram cars into people. They do that these days. Sadly, there's so many
different
ways.
So you're going to sue the rental company? You're going to sue the manufacturer?
For not locking up the van or not locking up the car. So again, men and women are grasping for reasons. Are there any environmental influences that could have come to bear on this? Or was it the human heart? Of course, it's always the human heart. Is evil above all things and desperately wicked, according to Scripture, Jeremiah chapter 17. But in this case also, we prod into this just a little bit, and there's access to some information regarding these folks. And what we find is that in so many cases, they did have certain environmental influences that moved them in one particular direction or another. And these environmental influences are important. And indeed, the hearts of these young men are often very, very depraved. Of course, they are depraved. They're drawn towards these things. They're drawn to environmental influences that can influence them to even more violent forms, as what we've seen with this young man, Demetrius Pagortsis. His music influence in this case was The Perturbator. And this has come out in a number of news reports on this young man. And The Perturbator is a man by the name of James Kent. And I did a search on the internet for this young man who has produced this music that was influential upon the young man that apparently is suspected of being the guy to bring about this massacre in Santa Fe, Texas. And so I did the search on The Perturbator. And the guy who influenced the killer, the man James Kent, was interviewed by the Church of Satan.com. So it's very interesting. In fact, it's the only interview I could find with him. The only interview of The Perturbator was interview conducted by Church of Satan.com. Immediately, I think as Christians, our hackles are up and we sense a problem here. This young man who creates this music that has been influential in the life of a suspected killer is a young man that's been influenced by Satan. In fact, this is what The Perturbator, or James Kent, told the Church of Satan.com. I was introduced to Satanism at a very young age and read Anton LaVey's Satanic Bible many times. I've never read the Satanic Bible. I haven't heard much about it. Have you ever heard of the Satanic Bible?
Oh,
does this surprise you at all?
No, it does not surprise me. It doesn't surprise me at all because, as my wife's grandmother used to say, she said, what goes down the well comes up in the bucket.
Uh-huh.
And ideas have consequences.
Yeah.
You can see that there will be the fruit of teaching, and there the fruit is obvious.
He says that the Satanic Bible woke me up to a huge interest towards symbolism and occult, some things that have ever been present in my work and myself. And he goes on, and he talks about how the pentagram is so important to him and so forth. So Satan influenced The Perturbator, and The Perturbator influenced this Texas high school kid who allegedly murdered his 10 friends. Are there connections here in your mind?
Yeah, you can connect the dots on this. Have you listened to any of The Perturbator?
Well, you just played a little bit of this.
Yeah.
You played a little Perturbator. And to be honest with you, The Perturbator is disturbing.
Yeah, it's
to me, it's disturbing music.
It's electro, techno, kind of, you know, driving music.
What's the worldview? Does music have a worldview? Does music convey something? Is there a worldview that comes across through music?
Yeah, and it's not just lyrics. It's not just the music itself, but it's a combination of things that convey a worldview. I mean, there may be a reason for driving music, okay, or a driving beat. There may be a reason for lyrics that are harsh, but that you can't just pick out one aspect of it. You have to look at the entire whole of it and look at the body of work
There's something violent about the lyrics? He does include a few lyrics. Most of it's instrumental, but there's some lyrics there. Think there's something violent about the lyrics? Something Nietzschean, something about the force of strength, the might making right.
Yeah.
And
in fact,
killing and murdering the weak and so forth. You get that sense in the music?
Yeah, the music is very techno pop, but the only lyrics I heard were, it can't be bargained with, it can't be reasoned with, it doesn't feel pity or remorse or fear, and it absolutely will not stop ever until you are dead.
That sounds violent. That sounds about as Nietzschean as you could imagine. And then there's also this driving beat and this hypnotic thing that comes back again and again. And I asked you, what would happen if you listened to that same thing for 3 hours straight?
Well, I couldn't listen to 4 minutes, but you're right. It's very hypnotic. And what sometimes happens is with music is that it draws you out of yourself, as all art does, but it gets you to an altered state of consciousness. And when you're in an altered state of consciousness, you're no longer in control. Either someone else is or something else is. And that is a dangerous position to be in. And that's why we are urged throughout Scripture not to empty our minds, not to worship as the pagans do by repeating over and over and over and over mindless mantras, but we are to fill our mind with the Word of God and then to meditate on that, to draw it back up and to concentrate on it and to think upon those things that are good and pure and true and lovely. And what we see and hear in the perturbator is just the opposite of that. It is to put you into an altered state of consciousness, and it is to drive you to despair, and then you're no longer in control.
Yeah. I think people forget how powerful music is. I'm not sure Adolf Hitler would have accomplished everything he had without the ideology of Nietzsche and the music of Wagner. Very, very powerful, very, very influential, very, very motivating towards the Nietzschean philosophy that Adolf Hitler brought to bear so strongly in his Third Reich. So people forget how music is very, very powerful. People forget that the words in the music really do communicate ideas as well as spirit. I think both spirit and ideas are both communicated through. When I say spirit, I'm talking about emotion. I'm talking about a heart inclination towards this or that. It motivates, it presses upon us in so many ways. And Satan, of course, can use music for his own purposes to further inspire the heart to evil. Remember the satanic lyrics of Marilyn Manson that influenced Matthew Murray? Remember the homeschooled kid who did the mass murder at the YWAM? Up here at the YWAM in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, right.
And then I think he was shot down at the New Life Church in Colorado Springs.
Right.
Matthew Murray was homeschooled, but he was also very much saturated in Marilyn Manson's music. And so satanic lyrics of Marilyn Manson seemed to infect Matthew Murray very much. Also, Marilyn Manson possessed Kip Kinkle. And Kip Kinkle was one of the early, early school shooters, I think in the 1990, if I'm not mistaken, out in Springfield, Oregon. So Kip Kinkle, also very much influenced by Marilyn Manson. Also, Luke Woodham, the Mississippi mass murderer at the high school down there, was influenced by Nine Inch Nails and Marilyn Manson. His favorite album was Antichrist Superstar by Marilyn Manson. That was Luke Woodham's favorite album. And Luke Woodham is one of the most famous school shooters or school massacre agents from the early 2000s. So again, my friends, music has a powerful influence. Now, we're not saying that the human heart wasn't influential and fundamental in bringing about the devastation we find, but Satan also is very real, and he has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. And we find this in the music. Even the lyrics you just read from this perturbator fella, those words come from Satan. Yeah. Are you convinced of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he said Satan and the Satanic Bible is really what got him rooted in this occultic way of thinking and this occultic music.
And it's a culture of death.
Yes.
You know, that's the point of this. It's a culture of death, despair. And when you immerse yourself in that, then you begin to practice that. You begin to look for opportunities to convey that to others. And when you reach a point of despair and death is the only option, there are consequences.
Yeah.
Ideas do have consequences.
They sure do. And when they're discipled by these satanic lyrics and the satanic musicians, of course, they're probably going to play out these ideas in less than desirable consequences.
It's, you know, people say, well, it's just a song and it doesn't, it just got a good beat. It's easy to dance to, you know, or, you know, the lyrics. But ideas are conveyed by words, and words have power. And so we need to be very aware. When you couple words with music, it makes it memorable.
Mm-hmm.
It has more power to
it. It penetrates.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to be very careful and cautious about what we fill our mind with. It could be even the lyrics of the 1940s.
Oh, sure.
You know, that, sure, that drive you to things that you should not be thinking of, mm-hmm, either.
The music your children listen to will shape them. I think that's a lesson that every parent needs to be well aware of. And the development of the headphones, I don't think this man Koss, I can't remember his first name, is it John Koss? I think it was John Koss. I don't think John Koss has been recognized as much as he should, because he has developed the hell is other person's Sartarian lifestyle probably better than anybody else. The development of the headphones and the earbuds was so significant in the history of the modern world because it isolated the individual into his own world. It subjected him to a form of life that is very isolated. And it's again, wandering east of Eden with Cain, who was the vagabond in the earth. It's the isolation of the individual into his own life, into his own world. And I'm guessing that
it's another altered state of consciousness. It's an altered reality.
Yes, it is.
I go down to college campuses and do interviews, and it's very difficult these days to do interviews because most people are walking around with earbuds.
Yeah.
And they're either on the phone or they're listening to music. And so it's very difficult to engage people in conversation.
I've noticed that with sitting next to people on the air flights.
Right.
I get maybe 50, 60% of the time I get the opportunity, but the rest of the time, earbuds. I'm guessing that this guy from Texas, his parents had no idea what was going through his head.
Yeah.
Now, that is not always the case, but oftentimes the parents or the friends or the family members will say, I had no idea.
Yeah, he's such a nice guy.
That he was going to pull this off and so forth. Well, a lot of the reason why people have no idea what's going on through the heads of their kids or their friends is they live in their own world with their earbuds and the demonic ideas that are piped into the brain through the earbuds. And so I think people need to understand the influence of music, the influence of earbuds, and the isolation of the modern man less and less allows for other forms of inputs to qualify and to soften the impact of the heavy demonic influence that comes through the music or through the earbuds or whatever it happens to be. So again, as children are isolated from their families, as individuals are more and more isolated in the modern world, and they walk into a strange way of thinking, and they are much more manipulatable by demonic forces. And I think we as Christian families need to be very, very careful with earbuds. We, for the most part, we don't listen to music through earbuds. In fact, my daughter today was running around with her iPhone blaring out the little worship song or whatever she was playing. And I was very thankful for that. Now, sometimes the music that my children are playing may not be exactly the music that I would have picked for the moment. But you know what? I love the fact they play it out loud. And so, you know, I can interact with it a little bit. I play my music out loud. They play their music out loud. We're able to interact with the music forms in the family. And I think that's really a biblical approach to music. Think about Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit of God, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is meant here? And we're going to end on this point, and that is that we are meant to sing together. We're supposed to be exhorting each other. We're supposed to be encouraging each other as we sing to each other. It's not a passive listening to something. It's a singing in community. It's sharing our music with each other. It's not abandoning community and entering into our own self-absorbed existentialistic experience, hermetically sealed off from all other influences. So it's just our own imagination and the spirits of the demonic world that are infecting us. No. That's not the worldview of a biblical approach to music. A biblical approach to music involves a participation, a singing to each other, a building up of each other through the music that we sing, and also a singing to the Lord, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father. So we need to include the aspect of gratitude to God and praise to God and worship to God and thanksgiving for the good things that God has given to us in the music that we sing. So this is a biblical perspective on music. There's so much more to say, but we've incorporated it into our book on culture called The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture. And so we sort of place a biblical worldview next to pop culture, and we do a biblical analysis. And most importantly, we sort of give you the tools whereby you can discern and analyze music and all forms of cultural experiences. And that little book, The Tattooed Jesus, is available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. So always replace the worldly forms, the worldly worldviews concerning music and culture with a biblical perspective, a much more positive perspective, friends. And be sure that you're creating a Christian culture, a biblical culture for your children, a culture that builds up, not a culture that breaks down or produces a satanic form that robs and steals and kills and destroys. So again, that book is available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org, The Tattooed Jesus. Get it today at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.